Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Masters of Marketing. In this episode, I have with me Erica Varangouli. She's the head of SEO branding for Semrush. She has tons of experience in SEO and content creation, content marketing. We discussed amazing topics. Tune in and enjoy the show. So, Erica, welcome to Masters of Marketing.
Hello, very nice to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the
Our
time from your busy schedule.
pleasure. Is that what everyone says all the
Yeah.
I'm known to even
Yeah.
say that on holidays, so it doesn't count.
Are you on holidays now?
No, but I do
Oh.
use it even on holidays, so it
Oh
doesn't
yeah,
count.
awesome.
Yeah.
Good. So let's get started. First question, who are you? What is Semrush? What is Semrush? I know that Semrush is obviously known to all the people in the SEO and SEM world. But I know that a lot of people as well that are into content creation and social media and web don't necessarily know Semrush. So, and a lot of business owners don't, which is a big part of the viewers. So maybe it's good to tell us who you are, what is Semrush, and what is your role at Semrush.
Should I start with Semrush first?
Let's
Well,
do it.
I'll introduce just myself very briefly to begin with. So I am Erica Varangouli. Don't feel bad if you don't pronounce my surname.
That's why I didn't.
And I'm the head of SEO branding at Semrush. So Semrush, what it is, it's an online visibility management tool, right? And content marketing SaaS platform. This may sound a bit too hard, but in reality, it's an all-in-one suite aimed to help business owners and marketers with any level of marketing knowledge grow their business online. So the idea, Bas, when you said, "Oh, business owners may not know you," ouch, because the principle of Semrush is that it is not just a tool for experts or for specialists, in SEO. It's a tool that aims to make marketing easy. That's actually our mission, right? It's to make marketing easy. And what does it mean? What does it offer? And why Semrush exists in a way, right? You're right that it started more as an SEO and keyword research tool. That was by Oleg and Dmitry back in 2008, so 15 years ago now. But over time, what we saw was that, marketers or business owners are trying to grow online. They either have to buy and use multiple tools to do small parts of their implement their strategy or to understand what to do, or the limitations of small medium businesses in terms of budget means that they have to use a lot of there are free tools out there, right? But that gives you limited data, so naturally that narrows your vision when you want to grow a business online. And then the all-encompassing full suites were so inaccessible in terms of cost or in terms of usability as well, especially if we're thinking of business owners who are not SEO experts themselves or social media managers. So that's where Semrush came in. It aimed to be an all-in-one platform with a holistic approach to what someone needs to grow a business online, and that allowing businesses to enter a market or to grow in a market that they're already present in and using various channels. So now we've ended up with, I think, over 50 tools, marketing tools in the platform. And I would bet we have also an equal amount of apps in our app center as well. So there are it's a multifaceted kind of approach to how we offer software to people who use that. And some of the things Semrush helps you do, for example, right? If someone is asking, okay, so what can I do with it? What does online visibility management mean? It's everything from start to monitoring, reporting, and growing your presence. So understanding, discovering your market segment, understanding your competitors, who they are, what their strategies are, what's working, what's not working. Identify opportunities for growth in terms of channels. For example, where should you go big on? Where are the opportunities not so big? And then having the specialist tools for each one of those channels, right? So SEO, social media, content, paid channels, you name it, you'll find a tool or an app at Semrush to do it. And then it's also like to create and optimize content to rank, for example, or to engage on social, and then to monitor, report. So it's a 360 view of your marketing, essentially, all in one platform. And it is not addressed just to experts in marketing. We're working a lot with small business owners, solopreneurs, you know, there's a lot that they can take from using it.
Right.
I feel very promotional now.
The sales hat is on. No, it makes sense. I think it's a great explanation. And there's always the question, like, what do we use? We use SEMrush, or do we use Moz, or do we use Ahrefs? And, you know, do we use a lot of free tools? Do we use Google Keyword Planner or Uber Suggest? And it's good. I think it's good. We're not going to go into the differences, because that's a few hour talk, but I think it's a great explanation. And what is your role at SEMrush? So okay. You said brand. So I'm going to let you explain what that is, right? Because it could be a tricky title. And I know that you got actually a new role now as well at SEMrush, right? So
this is a very fresh role for me and for SEMrush. It wasn't a role that existed before. We kind of made it up, I would dare to say. So head of SEO branding, what I'm doing now. So I moved into this role. It's a month now, so it's not so long, but the idea is that, you know, it's for me to play a very active role in engaging and educating and helping, you know, the SEO community as well progress through sharing educational content, through, you know, being present in events and sharing that knowledge, you know, in conferences or podcasts, and engaging in meaningful conversations with the community on social as well, but also like putting content out there that helps our community advance a bit, hopefully. Like this is definitely my goal. It's not just to create more noise, and I say community and not industry. You'll hear me a lot, I think, during our talk. I prefer the idea of community, and SEO is kind of like an industry that works like that. It is based on the idea of sharing knowledge, you know, tests, exchanging opinions, fighting very hard for the opinions sometimes, interpreting what is happening. And I love that. And I think SEMrush also saw that as well. And SEO being our roots, right? This is where we started. This is the community we first engaged and grew with. There was a need for someone to be a person at SEMrush that the SEO community would engage with more as well, and would look to get more information or data around things. So this is happening for about a month. I've been at SEMrush for almost 4 years. So prior to that, I was the head of international brand. And prior to that, I was director of organic search. So I was managing the SEO team and our organic search program. So I've changed a few roles in 4 years at SEMrush. But the great thing for me is that I've been allowed to move to roles that help me develop, you know, my knowledge, or how we engage with the people around us. How do we add genuinely useful content out there and add value? And I've been allowed to do that, which is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely a unique role. And you're right, probably it was needed, because before, users would engage on, let's say, platforms like Quora, and now there's like a face to SEMrush. There's a more of a person rather, or like who's going to reply, or that's super valuable. And you're still involved.
I'll say that
go ahead.
It's not just one person. Like SEMrush is also, and the SEMrush, let's say, brand also thrives on the idea that its people have unique voices, right? So it's not like anything SEO related. I'm the official spokesperson or anything like that. We have amazing people like Marcus Tober, who's a whole chapter in himself in SEO, or Kyle Byers, who's now the director of organic search, Olga Andrian-Kirby. So there's a lot of unique voices that talk about these things, but my role is a bit more, you know, intentional. It's more about going back into the community, understanding what the struggles are now, what adds value now, ensuring we do that, and not so much be like, you know, what does Erica feel like talking about today on social or doing? So there's that kind of fine balance between not saying, okay, so it's only Erica, but you know, Erica is there to be more strategic and intentional about how we build that presence as well.
Interesting. So how are you involved in, so you're involved only in the community or as well creating the blogs and articles and social content?
There's all of that. So there are teams and specialist teams. So, you know, we have our organic search team, our social media team, influencers. My role sits among all that, so in the middle of all that, right? And this is one of the things I loved about this role when we were discussing it. It's like, it's not about sitting under one team, working with only one team and doing one set of things in a channel. It's about having your own initiatives. So that could be an example, a data study. So using data to answer or try to answer a question that many people are wondering about in the SEO community, right? And at the same time, it's publishing content on the blog. So working with a team that is responsible for the blog, working with influencers in our community and engaging with them, working with our brand team as well for brand initiatives happening. So my favorite part about it, and I think that's like SEMrush got to a point, and my manager got to a point where they realized that no matter which team Erica is on, she will still spend a lot of time talking with other people in other teams. So I do believe that, you know, a lot comes out of collaboration. It's not just, you know, this is just my remit, this is my goal. I don't look left, right, and center. I just deliver something. It's more, we're all members of the same company. So our expertise, our opinions are needed in various things throughout the day. So this role officially allows me to do that, officially allows me to go into different teams and collaborate to create something either together or, you know, as myself, but with a lot of support in the background.
Makes sense. Love it. Must be an exciting a new journey for you. Yeah.
Nice. Great.
Good stuff. Next question. How important is SEO for SEMrush and why?
Yes. Of course. I cannot just answer very and leave it there, can I? I would say it's very important. So even if you check like online on our tool, you will see that it's one of the top 2-3 channels driving traffic, right? That is the easy answer for me. The kind of a bit more analytical answer, it's a channel that is great for various stages of that user journey or funnel, whatever you prefer to call this. It's a great channel to drive awareness, you know, discovery phase, and we use it. We're creating a lot of content that is educational, is adding value, answering questions and evergreen, for example, topics that need answering. But it's also a channel that taps into the later stages as well of this funnel. So in terms of discovery through search, and our SEO team are really focused on doing that. So I don't know how much in depth you want to go about any of those stages.
So one between bracket tip, you see where you are now, you're close to your name, and that you're going to be cut as a vertical in the shorts. So it's good. So I know that SEO is a very important channel for you because you obviously rank on most of the keywords related to SEO and probably a lot of other keywords related to social, paid ads, etc. So how important to you is SEO from a branding perspective? And so top funnel, like you said, so you generate a lot of interest and top funnel, and as well like bottom of the funnel, because when I land on one of your blogs, so of course it's the amazing blogs with a lot of information, but again there's a lot of call to actions to drive sales. So yeah, do you, I don't know about like your strategy in terms of lead generation or traffic acquisition. I don't know the percentages between paid, because I cannot recall like ads for SEMrush, because maybe I don't search for these tools anymore myself, but I search for, you know, anything related to SEO and your rank. So maybe you're not running ads, but is SEO a big part of your acquisition channel?
Yeah, for sure it is. So the idea behind, you know, using SEO and content for discovery or awareness stage, right, is that obviously you want to target also the right audiences. So, you know, we didn't set a strategy to go out and target every possible term out there. And you will see that there is content that is specific to topics, right? Topics that are also relevant to our audience. So I'm thinking of, you know, it's very often you hear, you know, go after terms that have very low keyword difficulty or very low search volumes and you can rank. And of course, yes, it does play a role that, you know, SEMrush, I understand, is a big brand. So we're starting with an advantage there. But what that kind of advice doesn't tell you is that Sometimes, yes, it's a great starting point, but the real starting point is knowing what your audience needs, right? And this was, as it always has been, the core of our SEO strategy. It has been the core of understanding, you know, who are potential customers or not customers yet. Like, they may be so far from converting, right? But they're starting to research things. They may be a business owner, you know, someone told them, oh, you need to look into doing some SEO for your website. So they may start, what is SEO? So they're not going to buy SEMrush the first day they're looking for what is SEO, right? Or further down. So some advanced kind of searches from people who are well-versed. So, and there's all that segmentation of, you know, where they may be in that funnel, in that kind of phase in their journey, and offering the right type of content. It's not just the blog. It's also like a lot of educational materials that go out, you know, with Academy, for example. SEMrush Academy has had a complete rehaul in the past couple of years with webinars. So that level of education, depending on what kind of user we're speaking to or where they are, yes, is the core of that strategy. I'm not going to play down, of course, the role of, you know, technical SEO, for example, right? It's the bigger the website, the less you can ignore that. But, you know, that is more like the housekeeping part of the strategy. It's more about, you know, how do we get in front of the right people at the right time, and then creating content that can do that effectively. Because also you always hear, like, you know, create great content, create helpful content. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the word nowadays. But what it means and how effectively you can actually do it is a whole other discussion. So the whole editorial and content approach, which has also like has been built over the years, is what has led this strategy forward.
Which leads me to my next question then. So how do you win? How do you create this helpful content rank? And it's extremely, like, especially in your case, right? Like, you're competing with thousands of people that write articles about SEO, thousands of agencies. So I don't want to ask you how you do it, but maybe how should other businesses do it to win? Let's forget about the backlinks part. Let's talk about the content part. How do you win from a content perspective?
You know, that's a $1 million question nowadays, right? Especially going through the, I don't know, third, fourth update by Google within 2 months. So everyone's going crazy right now. So how do you win?
It's more than $1 million, because if I rank on all the keywords myself as a business, my company would be valued at $100 million. So
you're right. Yeah. So I would say there's probably like 3 or 4 things that you need to start with, right? One is you win by knowing your audience. It is very cliche. By that, I don't mean just, you know, make up your audience, create some audience personas, share them with the whole marketing and business, and then just write for them. It goes beyond that. It goes into a deep dive into, you know, who they are, what their pain points are, how do they shift during their journey? Because like the idea that I'm not buying easily is that, you know, we start, we identify our audience, and then these are their pain points and those remain. It's like they need to be mapped out. Like, how do they progress as you take them on a journey, essentially? Where do they hang out? What kind of content do they engage with? What kind of problems are trying to solve? So understanding your audience. Without an audience, there is no content, right? We're not talking about content you write at home, like poems for you to read on your own. We're talking about content that is addressed to someone. So who is that someone? And honestly, one of the, do you call them pet peeves? Like, one of those pet peeves for me is like when I see audience personas and then the rationale behind how they're built or the research is quite limited. And then you see how that affects a content strategy as well, right? Being very tunnel vision. So one thing I would urge is really understand your audience. I know audience research can be expensive for many companies, but there are so much data that people have on their hands nowadays, right? From their sales teams, from comms, either, you know, if they have, let's say, intercom or emails with their sales and support teams. They have all those questions being asked online about products or about problems. So those need to be identified. And that, for me, is like 50% of winning is that exact point. Then you win by knowing your competition. And again, here, knowing your competition, and I will add, not just so you replicate what they do. So you know your competition, because you can then see what overlap there is with their audiences and your audience, their products, your products or services, what they're doing well and is working, and what they're doing and it's not working. What are they missing out on? So there, again, you're getting some directions of like, okay, here's so many gaps that actually no one is tapping into in my industry. So if I go in and do it well, this is like for me to take. That's a space that no one is occupying right now. And you only do that by analyzing them and identifying them. I will say you also win by understanding where Google is headed, right? And I always say, listen carefully. I know as well, there's a lot of discussion often, right? Google will make a statement, or someone from Google, like a spokesperson, make a statement, and half of their reaction is like, we don't trust this is true. So you mentioned links, for example, before. There was recently a heated discussion around that, because there was a statement from Gary Ilish on PopCon, I think, that links are no longer top three ranking factors. So, you know, there were a lot of comments of like, yeah, that's not true. Or others that is like, okay, so they don't matter at all. So there's one thing I say also to my team previously and my teams now, or when I get involved in conversations, is like, just, you need to understand how Google works, what their business model is, right? It's a very successful business model. And it relies on many things, but one of them is fundamentally becoming indispensable to us as users, right? And how they're trying to do that has thankfully started being much better documented on their blog and on YouTube. And I'd say it's not about trusting that they tell us everything. Of course they won't, like they are also protecting their business. But where it's headed, I think, can be clear if you listen carefully and monitor like the progress over time. So my advice there would be to really, really read how Google works, read their documentation, see what happens when updates happen, what gets rewarded, what doesn't get rewarded, you know, and that is often a clear indication, because you will often, like, especially business owners, they will get approached and be like, you know, easy win. Here's like, you can buy for $100 all those links and you will rank. I've done it before. You will see all those kind of impressive graphs without context, right? There's a lot of that happening. I'm not saying all of that is not true, but I'm saying, you know, something that is very obviously, again, where Google is headed may work for a bit, it probably won't last. So, you know, if businesses and lives depend on that, like, you know, it's something to really take into account. And then one more thing I would say, because it's, you know, it's the trend, is to not be afraid. So not demonize, but also not be completely dazzled by AI, right? I see also that really, really changing the way we do content right now, the way we perceive it. It's accessibility, but also like how it shapes the outcome. So maybe we can talk a bit more about this a bit later. So if you have all those things done, I think then you end up with content that is very targeted. You can understand how you need to speak to your audience, what you need to speak to them about. You have your guidelines around, you know, what is helpful content, what is value-adding content. You essentially need to organize that into a system that is cohesive and will cover all those needs as they go along this journey and sort of drive them through that journey. So you're no longer in a position, you know, the backseat. It's like, okay, I'm here. I'll write something. If I rank, maybe they will discover me. You're kind of like taking them on a journey that through content, they go through that discovery and maturing as users and as potential customers as well at some point. So yes, I would pinpoint it to those four or five things.
Makes sense.
No. Yeah. I don't know how to interpret no follow-up question.
Yeah, I mean, you're making me think. And I agree that this is these are the most important parts from a content perspective. And definitely monitor what the competition is doing, because if you want to win and you don't have a strong backlink profile, if you want to rank for such competitive keyword key phrases, then you have to create way better content than your competitors, more helpful content than your competitor. And whether it is a short form or a long form, but it has to be helpful. It could be a short form page. And I see short form pages, they overrank long form pages just because they have and maybe a video that explains the whole process. So it answers the question of that user.
They captured the intent. I think the positive story here, Bas, is that I don't know how it was like 10 years ago. It was very different. I do know. But right now, if you analyze like a lot of SERPs, like top ranking positions, right? The pages that rank are no longer just pages that have the most links on some kind of content, right? And years ago, it was kind of like put content out there, ideally long form a bit, and then just answer some questions that your keyword research shows or whatever, and then just build links to those pages. And nowadays, this is no longer the case, but it's you're right in what you're saying that, you know, capturing the intent and remembering as well that, you know, Google has all those features. So if let's assume you're in a space where the top five or top 10 positions are inaccessible with content, like every big giant ranks there. So there's nothing you can do. There's still all those features, right? There's different content formats, and Google is surfacing videos, images, perspective. So that is, for example, a new thing and a new direction I think many will take. It's like it's no longer covering the same things, maybe with a bit of different structure, maybe with a bit of better phrasing. It's like, where's your opinion? Where's your firsthand experience? What format are you serving it in? And then the opportunities rise exponentially. But it also has another side to this story, right? And it's like, you will see things like that ranking, but they also tap into potentially sometimes a strong brand or an overall very authoritative domain. So we still see that a lot. And it makes sense. Like this is why I love my role, because for me, SEO was never a thing. Like, no, SEO is for non-branded things. And then you have brand for branded organic. It's kind of like those things are deeply connected. And the more we progress, the more Google advances as well, having a strong brand is paramount to performing. So yeah, absolutely. It's not just about, you know, get some links, write some content, target some keywords in that content and see what happens.
Makes sense. You mentioned AI. How is AI shaping SEO or content nowadays? I would rephrase it to maybe, how is it shaping content and SEO? So yes, and how is it positively and negatively affecting SEO and content?
Okay, so I stand by what I said. Like, I think there's a lot of scaremongering around AI and SEO or content, you know, from AI is going to steal our jobs to, you know, AI is penalized by Google, to a lot of idolizing. I can do everything with AI now. I don't need all my writers or whatever. I can just give a prompt. Maybe I work on the prompt a bit and then boom, all my problems are solved. And as is usual, the case in life, the truth is somewhere in there, right? It's somewhere in between. So I see all of those approaches, and I think AI is a powerful tool. Anyone in marketing now, and I don't mean just SEO, right? Anyone in marketing right now not leveraging AI, I think they're falling behind already, even if it doesn't show yet. To the degree that I can predict how things will go, it's like AI can become, and already is, like a really, really powerful tool to help us automate some tasks, especially that otherwise would take us a long time, right? So creating amazing briefs, right? I don't know about you, Bas. Like when I was a content strategist, for example, and I was creating briefs for our writers, I would often spend a full working day doing my research and then putting everything into the brief, right? So SEO, research, keyword, competitive SERPs, creating a structure. That would be like easily a full day of my time. And there's a lot now that you can already do by training AI models as well, your tone of voice, by asking them to support you, by feeding it with the right information and prompt. So you can help create that process. You can work with a much smaller team maybe, so your output increases exponentially. On the other hand, there needs to be that human check at every stage, right? The brief, what it returns, editing the information, like we all know, like hallucinations, we've read it 1,000 times, that don't trust everything you get back. There is some misinformation, so you know, I'm using ChatGPT for keyword research, not really, like it cannot do that, right? So you're getting something back. Maybe there's merit in some of those ideas, but if you cross-reference with actually what people search, let's say with a keyword research tool, right? Like SEMrush, there's no connection between those. So there needs to be a lot of checking of that work right now. But I think by working on your processes and your prompts to automate tasks that otherwise would take a lot of your human resource, you can end up with great results and then use that human resource to either scale the output or to focus on something else that they never had time before. And then it's definitely working. There are examples. So I really want to address that. There are examples of, AI generated content fully ranking. And with the recent updates, there's a lot of discussion like, oh, okay, is Google penalizing AI generated content? Is it not penalizing AI generated content? Technically and officially, they don't care if your content has been created by me or by AI. But what they care about is being genuinely yet helpful content. So far, in my experience, just dropping a very basic prompt and expecting that to be helpful content that you get back is not working. So I don't think the problem is with that being originated by AI. The problem is by not being genuinely reviewed and built on with human experience, expertise, editing, fact-checking, and all of that. So yeah, I would advise against just putting all your money on just AI and think. I know it's very, very attractive, especially for small business owners or for, small teams with not a lot of experience and expertise to just say, okay, well, we'll give it this prompt. But maybe you will not go as far as you think and don't get disappointed. Just get what you can, but build on it yourself.
Makes sense. I agree. Especially that people are being tricked by this stuff that we see online now. So I think it was an article or a video by a guy showing a case study, how he ranked on so many keywords just by creating blogs on AI, just text blogs. And he just added some images and then, he wrote everything, title tags, meta tags, H tag, like the whole thing on ChatGPT. And he ranked and he was showing the organic traffic on analytics and he was showing console, like Search Console, how he's, and it's amazing, right? So people say, that's the easy way. I can create blogs now in a minute rather than paying someone, $1,000 to write it for me.
For sure. And like that is what I was going on about a couple of weeks ago, because I don't know if you've seen them, but on LinkedIn you have the collaborative articles, right? Mm-hmm. So I obsessed over it for a couple of days because I was kind of like, what is going on here? I was asked to contribute, so I was invited to contribute, and I was like, what is this? And if you look at it, this is 100% AI generated content, right? And the brilliance of it is that then you're invited as an expert or talking about specific topics to contribute to that article with your experiences, your guidance, your whatever. The level of misinformation spread in those articles, the level of the quality of the contributions as well is very, very low. On the other hand, you have like a very big brand, you have a very big website, an authoritative website. And I was checking and it was like, it launched in March. And right now they're getting over 1 million traffic from these articles, right? I found instances of articles like that ranking with no contributions, right? So I don't even know, it's not clarified what their editorial team does. Do they just prompt AI to just create the initial article? Do they fact check? It doesn't look like they fact check to me because there are a lot of inaccuracies. So the signs right now say that it is possible to rank with AI content. On the other hand, I don't think it's just random that we saw like 4 updates from Google within a space of 2 months, 2 of them running simultaneously as we speak. So I'm not saying it's unprecedented, because in the past we also were not having the privilege of being having confirmations of everything, but it is kind of strange or new. And all of them are like core updates, helpful content updates, spam updates. There may be something in there that says, with the rise of AI last year or throughout this whole year, there's tons of content that has been created and published out there, right? So even if something ranks now, unless it's genuinely helpful and adding to the conversation, I don't think this will be the case for long. And so far, AI cannot do that. It cannot generate new ideas. It cannot generate like new experiences, right? Or opinions. So I would be very cautious with just saying, yes, now we have AI, just create tons of content with it and put it out there.
You just gave me an idea to have a discussion with a few other people. I think it will be super valuable. So imagine we have like you from SEMrush, another person from Moz, another person from, you know, UberSuggest and whatever, like all these tools, right? Ahrefs, etc. And maybe some people, some SEO specialists from brands, so from the client side, right? Not from the tool side. It'd be nice to have such a discussion. I think it'd be super valuable for the, like, SEO specific, right?
Yeah.
Because it's changing so much. And now, like, tools like ChatGPT and Bard, they take a lot of the impressions, a lot of the traffic as well. And then the SEO game is not only a search traffic game, right? But being on Quora is SEO, yeah. Being on listing platforms and as an SEO, being on social is SEO, right? So like what you're doing, like what you do, like you do so much of SEO, and SEO is to most people is just ranking organically on, yeah, on SERPs, right? So you got to think about it. And I'm sure you, yeah, I'll talk about it separately. Why I'm saying, because it's already been over an hour, you and I talking, and I feel like we just got started, right? Like,
I know.
And we're not going. Yeah. And I think they're super valuable. I'm sure people love this. But thank you. For the sake of time, I'm going to ask you one last question. And I'm going to ask you another question, which is there anything else that you'd like to add? But the last question, I think, because I have a lot of questions and I just didn't get this chance to go through them. Maybe we'll do another session. But like one for the content creators. So what suggestions do you have for content creators to cut through the noise? I know that you covered it actually quite in depth on top, like the steps on how to cut through the noise. But in general, for content creators, what do they need to do to cut through the noise, keeping in mind that most industries, like 95% of industries, are competitive today,
yeah,
online,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for you to rank on SEO. It's very difficult for you to get organic reach on social media.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for you to actually send an email and it reaches somebody's inbox if they didn't sign up, especially with all the spam filters, etc. So what does it take? Like, what are these like few tips?
Copywriting, mostly, right?
Copywriting? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot, but copywriting, I think it's a big one. So I'll leave it to you. But like, what did you see from this question? Like some, maybe a couple of steps, couple of pointers for content creators to keep in mind, to maybe rank, to get some organic reach, whether it is social content, whether it is blog content, whether it is email content.
I will start in an unorthodox way, right? I wouldn't typically start like that, but it came to me as you were asking me.
You're Greek, right?
I am Greek, yeah.
Greek Orthodox?
Good luck, Orthodox. But the one thing I did, so I started as a journalist, right? My first career was in journalism. And I was working print and online at the time because I'm so old that print was still a very big thing back then. But my then editor-in-chief, right, in my first job I got as a journalist, I would print off the articles or the article I had written, and I would take it to her to edit. And she would sometimes, not always, she would call me back after like 10 seconds and she would be like, take it, rewrite it. I was like, you can't have read it in 10 seconds, right? She was like, well, I read your title. I read the intro. I'm not interested. No one would read it. So I'm not going to look into it. This is it sounds like abuse, but it's actually a valuable lesson. And I found it actually, it helped me a lot when I went into content marketing and online marketing, right? Because that mentality of grabbing someone's attention from the start is paramount in online. And how you do it, everyone works differently. So some people like spend tons of time, or their attention initially is focusing on how they start. Others just write everything else like me, right? I cannot think of my beginning to begin with. I'm building the rest of it. And then I go back and I find it very easy to come up with a title that is engaging and an intro that will engage people from the start to want to read more. I would definitely, for a while, my team hated me for many reasons. One of them was that I was like, when I received their content, I was like, I'm going to read it on my mobile. It's on a Google Doc or something. I'm not going to read it on my laptop or anywhere on a big screen. I'm going to read it on my mobile because most people will read it on their mobile. And yes, it won't have like the fancy header, but in reality, it's the words. If they don't engage me, then it's very easy for me to swipe or do something else. So be very mindful of, for writers, it is very easy to get lost into their love of words or, you know, trying, being so deep into what they're talking about. They forget that someone else on the outside is not deep at all into this. What they really want is to get a piece of information or an answer really quickly. And if you do that effectively, this is like the how long it takes to get to the valuable point. That window needs to be very, very narrow. That speed to value needs to be very fast. So it's kind of like add all the valuable info you can as early on as possible. Give people what they want. It's no longer about, will they stay on my page for 5 minutes? It's not that. It's like, will they engage? Will they want to read more from you? Don't forget that, like, in many cases when strategies and content is successful, you may get a featured snippet. I don't know about you, Beth, but sometimes, like, if I don't want to go deep into a topic or it's not the right time, I'm happy with what I read.
Of course.
Snippet, right? I don't go further.
100%.
But think of like brands or websites like Investopedia, right? I've seen many answers on the SERPs from them, right? So when I want to go deep, I'm thinking, okay, Investopedia is probably a very good site to go to to go in depth. So this is the other look of that outside being just a writer. It's like, you know, featured snippets, all the snippets, all the features on SERPs are going to steal our traffic. And that's why now for me, it's important to be building brands, because this is how over time that brand affinity and connection is built, right? It's how you are perceived through the content that you put out there. It's not always about whether someone came on your website. Now, I know it's not a very popular opinion, but I think we will be led more and more to that. Second thing I would say is have an identity, have a strong tone, have an identity as a brand. If you look at SEMrush, the way we write or we talk when we write like a research piece or a blog post on an informative subject is very different to when you go on our social media, right? Or if you happen to see one of our more creative campaigns, which is almost like a non-B2B brand. I don't know, B2C. But there we are more playful. We're more witty. We're still like the basis for us is always being useful and engaging people. But we understand that someone on social, you know, they will be happy to see a meme. I guess if you were on our blog and you were reading what is SEO, you wouldn't want to see like 10 cat memes. But if you're an SEO manager and you're scrolling through social throughout the day to discover helpful content and also like decompress a bit, that can also become very valuable for you. It is diversified. Don't just see your content as a uniform kind of thing that everywhere, no matter what we do, we're doing it in exactly this way and repurposing this into that format means we're going to keep exactly the same style. Let's get more creative, create memorable experiences depending on where you engage with your audience. So yeah, I'm trying to keep it short, but those two things I would say where I would like to start. Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it short, but I'm not able to.
Oh my God. I need to say that. Please don't just look at what ranks in the top 10 and redo that. Just think you're not doing exactly the same because your writing is better. Don't do that. Like it's a recipe that is not going to work or a long time. And this is not what helpful is. If it's already out there and like established brands have done it, why are you doing it and paraphrasing or rephrasing? Change anything.
You're right. And that's the easy way, right? For smaller businesses that don't want to reinvent the wheel, they just take an article, put it on ChatGPT, rewrite it, and bam.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. Anything else I didn't ask you that you think is valuable for us?
Don't look at SEO as like one thing, you know, technical or content. Don't look at SEO as like one channel, and that goes beyond SEO, right? Don't look at channels in isolation. We've already entered the era of, you know, brands and audiences and those two meeting, right? Your channels all should tap into that meeting happening sooner at the right place and you know, obviously the right time. So don't just stick to, okay, this is SEO, this is not SEO, this is something the brand will resolve or pay channels will resolve. You find tons of low-hanging fruit. You get tons more out by joining forces where you can, right? And looking at SEO and other channels more in a more holistic way. And that is what I would like us to end on from my side.
Couldn't agree more. Tons of value. Thank you so much for taking the time. And like I said, probably we'll do another session.
Happy
about some more people. Yeah. Go more in depth into content, into the value of backlinks. What type of backlinks? Is PBN backlinks, buying thousands of backlinks for $1 from France. Yeah. I don't know. I don't consume this content anymore. Like, you know, when I learned about SEO, I used to consume a lot of this content, and I've done, you know, tests myself. I built my own PBN, thousands of pages and hundreds of sites and linking them together, and did all the black hat and the gray hat. So I used to consume a lot of this content. I don't know if such content is still there. Like if we create like an episode like this where we go in depth, I think it'll be valuable because I don't remember seeing such pieces online. So I remember seeing a video of a guy talking, but not the podcast where, like, you know, few technical guys, few content guys from top platforms, from top brands, just having that discussion. I don't remember seeing it ever on YouTube. You?
No, maybe in events, you know, in-person events, if you have that, for example. But yeah, no, that would be interesting. Yeah. So much fun. Because I know, like, we have also strong opinions on some matters. Some of us.
Yeah.
It's always so much fun and exciting to hear, like, different perspectives.
Yeah.
Like, that is not physics, right? So it's not... You know, pencil doesn't always drop in SEO. Sometimes you think it will drop, but it just goes up. Like you're thinking, this is a great, and it tanks. So it is always very interesting to have this sort of discussions with other people in the industry.